Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today we are talking all about how to adjust your messaging during a recession with Danielle Ceballos. Now, let's be honest. What happens as entrepreneurs when the economy takes a turn for the worst and when we find ourselves in the beginning stages of a recession? Well, we need to take action. And today, I'm really excited to have the chance to dive into this discussion with Danielle all about how we as entrepreneurs can adjust our messaging in light of a recession so that our livelihood isn't negatively impacted. Now, if you have not met Danielle before, let me share a little bit about her. She is the owner and founder of Firebrand Communication Strategies. She is a communication strategist and copywriter for 7- and 8-figure business owners, and she helps people move past the very basics of copy that sells to create a comprehensive communication strategy that builds an epic brand while selling. Danielle, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat.
Well, if you don't mind, let's dive on in. I'd love to hear a little bit more about who you are and your amazing business.
Yeah, thank you. So I am, as you mentioned, a communication strategist and copywriter, and I actually started writing for different businesses as sort of a side job. I was a full-time teacher and I did that for 12 years. My degree was in that. This, you know, kind of online world wasn't really a thing when I was in college and graduate school. And so I got a normal job and kind of dipped my toes into the online world as we were adopting our children. I started blogging, and it was really before adoption was common, and it was really before blogs were a thing. It was sort of like right at the beginning of like blogs becoming cool. And we really did it because my husband is from Ecuador. I'm from New York. We lived in South Carolina at the time. And so we really just did it to kind of keep people up to date on all that was going on. And so as we, you know, brought their girls home and that blog grew into more of like a lifestyle kind of thing, I sort of had this general understanding of, you know, building something online and the possibilities. And we ended up moving overseas to Bangkok, Thailand. And I was kind of bored of my teaching job there. I kind of wanted a job that would allow me to wear leggings. So I decided to become a personal trainer, which is kind of funny because I actually don't like training people. I like to work out alone. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was there, and due to just some visa things, I couldn't actually work in a gym there. So I had to build this business online. I ended up working with a coach at the time who had a digital marketing agency alongside of her coaching for female entrepreneurs. And when we moved back, she asked if I wanted to write for her business because, you know, I had had this blogging experience. And so I was like, sure, that sounds great. And I ended up writing for her and all of her clients. And as her business grew, I ended up doing, you know, 15, 20, 30 hours a week extra on top of teaching and coaching, cheerleading, and just saw the power in this. I sort of got a boot camp in copywriting and sales writing and things like that just by doing, you know, putting in lots and lots of hours. When that agency closed, I said, okay, I'm just going to be a teacher forever. I was sort of burned out. And about 2 months later, just got bored and decided to start my own business. And so I went and studied conversion copy and grew my business pretty successfully in a matter of, you know, 9 to 10 months. And realized I didn't really want to write sales pages and emails for the rest of my life. I wanted to help people craft a brand message and build their thought leadership and change the world by the way they show up. And so I shifted gears in early 2020, and we do offer copywriting services. I have a team of 4 different writers, so I don't do them anymore, but that's kind of where things are. And we're working with 7 and 8 figure brands to really craft that brand message to really strategically help them show up in the world.
I love that. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your journey. I think it's so fascinating. I know that in my own life, my journey through entrepreneurship, it wasn't this, you know, this like kind of static moment where I just decided I'm going to start this business and I'm going to do this thing and I'm always going to do that thing. Like there's been an evolution to it. And I think that so many of us as entrepreneurs, there's an evolution to the brands that we build and the work that we do. So it's always so cool getting to hear stories like yours about how you got started and how that work has been refined over the years. So knowing what you do now, knowing that you are able to, alongside your team, create these incredible communication strategies that leave an impact in the lives of your ideal client, I bet that you have a lot of thoughts on how our messaging impacts our ability to drive sales. So would you mind sharing a little bit about how our messaging does impact our ability to experience more profit in our businesses or drive more conversions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that where most business owners, particularly entrepreneurs, struggle is they always look through their own lens instead of through their ideal market's lens. And so when you are communicating, you have this bias of expertise. You know what people need, you know the ins and outs, you know the lingo, but your market isn't necessarily looking for those things that you know that they need. They probably have a more surface level need or problem that they want to fix, and you have got to bridge the gap in your communication to speak to that problem and show them sort of the underlying layers and why your approach is the best. And so far too many people approach messaging from their own lens. And what they really need to do is say, okay, what is the market saying they want? What is the market saying they need? And where is the intersection between what they're saying and what I offer? And how can I use my messaging to bridge that gap? And what happens when you do that is your messaging becomes a lot shorter. It becomes a lot more concise. It becomes a lot clearer because you sort of pull away all of this extra stuff that isn't really necessary. And it makes understanding what you do, who you serve, and how you serve them a lot easier and a lot quicker, which is a good thing because we live in a world that is saturated. There's no market that isn't saturated. And so everyone is fighting for attention everywhere. And so when you can make your message cut through that so that it is so clear and so obvious and so explicit in what you're there for, who you're there to help, and how you help them, you are putting yourself in sort of a category of one, and that people will know what you're about almost immediately. And that's what we want. We don't want people to burn calories. I think Donald Miller talks about that. You know, you want people to come to your website, to your social media, to your ads, and know exactly what you're about. You don't want them to have to burn a million calories to figure it out.
That's such a good way to describe it. And I completely understand where you're coming from with that. So a question that I have, as I'm hearing you talk about how when we really get specific on who we are and what we do and how that connects with our ideal client, our ideal customer's needs, I'm wondering, okay, if we have this really concise and really just truly strategic message, is it important that when things change, like if the economy takes a turn, if we are experiencing a crisis, if we're experiencing a recession, is it important that we update our messaging, or does it matter?
Yes, it is important. And I think that this will affect businesses to varying degrees. There are many businesses that, you know, an economic downturn won't directly affect. If you were doing business online for a long time, my business was not really affected when everything shut down. My business is 100% online. I work with 7 and 8 figure business owners, and we actually grew during that time. So my messaging still shifted, though. It just shifted slightly. Whereas some people, you know, if you had a brick and mortar business, you had to very quickly pivot your entire offering, your entire service, you obviously had a much bigger change to your messaging than somebody who was, you know, just online and already kind of doing that. So there are different, you know, levels to which that sort of change will affect your business. But I think the thing everybody needs to think about is, in good economic times, the presenting problems of your market are going to be slightly different than the presenting problems during an economic downturn. And so you have to shift your messaging to now meet their new set of problems. And again, for some industries, the changes will be super, super, super small. For others, it'll be completely different. And you're going to have to assess, okay, where are the changes to what my clients need? And how can I adjust not just my services, but my messaging to speak to this new set of needs that they now have? So I think that's a really important place to start. And then you also want to always ensure that you don't sound tone deaf, right? You don't want to be that brand who's just acting like everything is normal and everybody is fine, when clearly everything is not normal and everybody is not fine, just because you and your brand might be. So you do want to always make sure that while you don't, you know, harp on things constantly, you know, you stay in your lane, you do business the way you've always done business, you do want to be sensitive in your messaging to recognize, hey, we get it. We understand things have gone on in the world. And I think a group of people have done this really well are sort of traditional commercials. If you've seen, we have like, I don't know, like Hulu and things where we have to watch like one commercial or something. And so many brands have really shifted, like, hey, we're all home now. Like, we're, this is a time to connect, or people are out of jobs. And they're speaking to the things that are going, that are slightly different, you know, that aren't the same, but they're speaking to those things in a way that bridges that gap again. You're always bridging the gap. Here's the need for what people have. Here's our service. How do I bridge the gap with my message? They're still bridging that gap. There's just a new problem that they're addressing. So I think that's probably the most important thing to consider, is have the needs of your market changed? How drastically have they changed? How have your services changed, and how do you need to bridge the new gap? And again, it's going to be to varying degrees for each type of business.
That makes total sense. So as I'm hearing you share that, I know that so many people in my audience, those who are tuning into today's episode, they might be wondering how they go about exploring and discovering how their ideal client or ideal customer's needs have changed. How would you recommend that if someone is really listening, they're taking notes, they want to apply what you're sharing today, but they're still kind of wondering, like, okay, how do I get inside my ideal client's head and understand how their needs might have changed, or how I can show up for them more? How would you encourage or actually instruct people to go about doing that?
Yeah, I think the only way to do that is to talk to your market. I think that far too many of us get in our own heads and we think, this is what I think they want. Stop doing that. Stop saying you think you know what they want, and go ask them. Very, very often you will find that there's a disconnect between what you thought they needed and what they actually needed. So there's a couple of ways to do that. I do recommend, if you have any type of audience and following, that you put out a, you know, a survey, that you ask people, do you want to hop on a, you know, 10-minute call? I'll give you a Starbucks card to do it. You leverage the people who've already trusted you in following you, and you ask them. I think that you can hop in, you know, Facebook groups, and instead of posting questions, I always see people like, tell me your biggest struggle with weight loss. Like, that's just such an open-ended thing that 90% of people are going to scroll by. But go into Facebook groups where your ideal clients hang out and use the search bar on the side. You know, search for people looking for nutrition tips. Search for people looking for, you know, when I was doing this, when I first started my business, I would literally just type in there copywriter. And you'll see posts all the time, people saying things like, who here's a copywriter? And they list out exactly what they need and exactly what they want. They would say, hey, I just hired this copywriter and it went terribly, and here's why. And I would get all of this information directly from the mouth of my ideal clients. So obviously now you're going to want to do that and look at the dates and make sure that they kind of match up to where we are. But I think what, you know, in terms of really understanding how to communicate, you have to keep a constant pulse on your people. That means you're having conversations. That means you're using polls in Instagram. That means you're listening and watching. You're on their social media. You're looking at what they're talking about. You have to take a vested interest in your people to really understand them. And that should be the lens, the filter through which you make decisions about your messaging as you go forward in any economy, really.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic advice. And I totally agree with you. I actually teach something similar with not only my branding clients, but also my group coaching students, where I'm a big advocate in ideal client interviews and chatting with the people that you want to serve to better understand how your work fits into their life and how your work empowers them to achieve their definition of success. So I think that you totally hit the nail on the head, Danielle, when you said that so often we think that we know what our ideal clients or ideal customers are looking for. But I know that in my own experience, so many times when I made an assumption and I thought that I knew the answer, when I actually did the work and I actually spoke to the people, I learned so much that I didn't take into consideration. So that goes to show you that our assumptions can only take us so far. What we really need to do is we really need to foster that connection and that continual connection with our ideal clients and our audiences. So I totally agree with that input. And I love that you shared that.
Yeah, I think the other side of that too is that you need to become an expert in what you do, because it is very hard to bridge the gap between things you don't understand. So you have to have a deep understanding not only of your people, but of what you do, because you won't be able to see the bridge and you won't be able to build that bridge if you are not an expert, if you have not dove deep into whatever it is that you do and mastered it on some level. Because the deeper you go into your own content while simultaneously staying connected to your market, the more clear those bridges become.
That makes so much sense. I think that probably what that might look like in action is if you are a entrepreneur who's still kind of getting your footing and you have a lot of different offers out there, my guess is it would be really challenging to hone in on your messaging if you're offering, let's say you're a photographer and you take on weddings and portraits and newborn sessions and then seasonal mini sessions. It'd be challenging to, you know, kind of like find commonality between those different offers when each of those offers speaks to a different type of ideal client, right?
Yep, absolutely. You need to really hone in on one or two things, and you can always add on. You can always expand. Again, as you see the needs of your clients, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have the freedom to change whatever you want to change. Mm-hmm. But you do want to be able to speak in a way that is clear, and I speak, right, whatever, you know, mode of communication you're using, in a way that is clear, concise, and targeted to what your people need. And you just can't do that if you're all over the place.
That makes so much sense. So in light of a recession, what are some practical tips? You've already shared so many great ideas, but what are some practical tips if someone wants to get started with this? What are some first initial steps that you would encourage them to take in order to really dig into this work?
I think if you are really trying to get clear on your messaging, the first thing to go back to, and specifically now as the economy is shifting, go back to your clients and commit to doing some market research. And I would challenge everybody to put that on your calendar once a quarter. Make sure that you are always doing that, that you're staying connected to your people. And I would challenge you to really set aside some time to kind of listen to your market and see what they need. And then I think you really can't get clear in your messaging until you put something out there and see. Like, you can hone the process by starting, like by taking action. So, you know, if you are putting out, you know, your Instagram captions and your Facebook posts and your website stuff, and you keep getting calls with potential clients and you realize they're asking for something that you aren't really offering, or that they're not the type of ideal client you have, then you know that it's a messaging problem. You need to go back and make some tweaks. You know, if you're running ads and you're getting lots of clicks and no opt-ins, you probably have a messaging problem. But you can't know that until you actually get some stuff out there. So I think sometimes the tendency is to overthink and to like obsess over every word, and, you know, just get something out there and and start collecting data, like start looking at what's happening as a result and make adjustments along the way.
That's really great advice. And something that you shared about how if we are reaching out, if we're putting this content out there and we're not getting the kinds of inquiries that we're looking for, or we're not seeing the kind of conversions we're looking for. I know that I see so many creative entrepreneurs think, oh, it must be my pricing. Like, I'm not seeing the results I want to see, so my prices must be too high or too low. But the fact that it might be a messaging issue, that kind of opens up this whole new, in my mind, this whole new opportunity, this whole new set of possibilities where you can make changes without feeling like you have to necessarily go back, scrap your pricing, and start from scratch.
Yeah, I think actually 90% of the time it's not your pricing. You just are not communicating your value enough, or you're communicating your value and it's not to the right people. Pricing is almost never the issue. You know, I say almost never. There are cases where it really is a pricing issue, but 98% of the time, it is a value understanding issue or a wrong people issue. Mm-hmm. And so messaging can fix both of those things, right? When you message effectively, you will attract the right types of people who can pay for what you're offering. And if you get really clear in your messaging, you convey the value in a way that shows people, yes, I actually do want to invest that in that because I do see the value and the ROI and the impact.
That makes a lot of sense. So in my mind, that sounds like something that we can apply that frame of thinking and that approach to our messaging in, you know, kind of any season, but especially during an economic downturn. Being able to concisely and strategically communicate the value behind our work, that I believe will help us connect with our ideal clients with such ease, where on your end as an entrepreneur, you don't feel like you're having to hustle for your worth or justify your prices. You're simply communicating the value, how it impacts your ideal client, and how you can help them experience the kind of growth or transformation they're looking for in a way that doesn't negatively impact your bottom line, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we have covered so much great stuff in this conversation, but one question that I always like to ask in every discussion I have here on the show is based around encouragement. So my guests, people who are tuning into this episode, they are getting excited about the possibility of how they can revamp their messaging, how they can go out and chat with their ideal clients or customers and learn more about what they can do in light of the current economic climate in our country. So my question for you, Danielle, is what kind of encouragement would you share to that person who's ready to go out there and do that work and they're excited about what that can look like for them?
Yeah, I think that we need to just remember that there's always opportunity in every economy. And so as you're going out there, if you really learn to listen and to sort of like lay aside your preconceived notions and your, you know, sacred cows and all the things that are you just hold so tightly to, and you really maintain the things you have like deep convictions about, what your services are about and how you want to make an impact, but hold everything else super loosely, you will find the opportunities everywhere. I think we get into this, you know, mindset of like, the world is ending, like everything's so bad. There's always major shifts in wealth when there is an economic downturn. And when you keep your eyes open for opportunities and you lean in and you listen and you make efforts to try and to show up and to do the thing, even when it's hard, that you will find yourself just fine on the other side of this. I think it's just when you pull back and you have all the fear and that's what's driving you, you almost sort of, it's that self-fulfilling prophecy of like, you're not out there, you're not doing the thing. And so you're not able to reap the rewards. So I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying that it's, you know, a snap of the fingers and everything just becomes magically wonderful. But you can always pivot. You can always find opportunity. There will be seasons in business where it is harder and it is going to require more work and you will be more tired. But hang in there, because if you commit to staying in the game, being consistent and doing the work, you'll be fine. I mean, you'll get that end goal, whatever that looks like for you.
Such good encouragement and such amazing advice, Danielle. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this point, I know that people are going to want to learn more about how they can connect with you and how they can hang out with you online. So where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on my website, firebrandcommunicationstrategies.com. And I've got a podcast as well, Firebrand Radio. So you can check that out. I do interviews with 7- and 8-figure business owners, just giving you tips and advice on how to build your own entrepreneurial dream.
Amazing. I definitely know I'll be checking out your podcast. And friends, for those of you who are tuning into today's episode, as always, I will have all of Danielle's links in the show notes. So you just have to go to brandstrategypodcast.com, click on today's episode, and you'll be able to find all of Danielle's information and how you can connect with her there. But Danielle, thank you again for joining me. I've loved getting to have this conversation with you, and I know that I'm walking away with so many great ideas as well. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise for me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.